cold open. Picture this. It's Wednesday afternoon. A senior leader discovers a critical compliance gap that could cost the company millions. They call the regional manager, who says they reported it up the chain 2 weeks ago. The leader's first reaction is anger. They send a sharp email to the middle manager and demand answers. The next morning, the team is frozen. People stop escalating because they're afraid of being blamed. Trust erodes, the issue drags on, and the company pays in rework and morale.
And that, right there, is the cost of escalation gone wrong. Speed without stewardship. Reaction without architecture. Escalation becomes punishment instead of a tool to preserve capacity and solve problems fast.
Welcome to the Excellence Imperative, a podcast for senior leaders who believe results matter, but understand that how those results are achieved matters even more.
I'm Mark Ellison. I come at this from the execution side, accountability, operational discipline, and what actually works inside real systems under real pressure.
Each episode, we explore what it takes to build organizations that perform consistently, adapt confidently, and endure, not through tools, trends, or quick fixes,
but through leadership choices, management systems, and the discipline to turn principles into action.
We'll challenge assumptions, examine real leadership tensions, and focus on the habits that create trust, clarity, and sustainable excellence.
Because excellence isn't aspirational, it's operational.
If you're a leader committed to serving people, strengthening culture, and delivering results that last,
this conversation is for you.
This is the Excellence Imperative. Today, when to raise the flag, designing escalation that preserves trust and gets things done.
Episode framing. Let's be precise. Escalation is not just urgency. It's architecture. It answers three plain questions. When to escalate, what specifically to escalate, and what we intend to do when leaders step in. Escalation is a decision system, a set of expectations about ownership, permissible trade-offs, and time horizons. If we leave those vague, people guess. Guessing creates risk, delay, and fear.
Exactly. In practice, escalation should define thresholds, a measurable condition, a named owner, and a defined response. Without thresholds, escalation cycles become email chains and command by exception. People stop escalating because it feels like volunteering for blame. That kills speed and innovation.
Execution reality check. We see four common failure modes. 1. Silent escalation. Leaders hear about a problem indirectly and then publicly blame the team. 2. Shortcut escalations, bypassing protocols to get a seat at the table, which trains the organization to escalate around, not through, their leaders. 3. Escalation as punishment, using escalation to discipline rather than to solve. And 4. Capacity drain, leaders who never time-box their exit or entrance and end up owning problems that should be solved at lower levels. All of these corrode psychological safety.
We need examples. I'll start with a case that works. A plant had recurring quality spikes. The escalation threshold was clear. 3 defects per hour triggers level 1 escalation to the shift lead. 6 defects per hour triggers level 2 to the operations manager with a 30-minute time box for a countermeasure. Level 2 could pause non-essential work for 60 minutes to stabilize, then hand back ownership with a short root cause plan. That structure preserved frontline ownership, kept leaders visible and time-limited, and reduced recurring spikes by half in a month. Concrete thresholds and time boxes saved both trust and throughput.
And a contrasting example. A tech group where the CTO would personally intervene whenever any customer issue reached a VP. That created a habit. Teams stopped owning escalations because going to the CTO was faster. The CTO solved immediate pain, but the organization lost learning and capacity. Leaders must ask, am I fixing the system or am I fixing the symptom by showing up?
Handoff language matters as much as thresholds. Use scripts. For example, I'm escalating this to you because X threshold was met. You own the next 60 minutes to stabilize. If no resolution, notify me with the facts A, B, C. I will not reassign ownership unless you ask.
That preserves dignity and sets a clear expectation for when leaders will take over. Scripts reduce emotional escalation and create predictable rhythm.
Principle check. Escalation is stewardship, not rescue. Stewardship means you step in to protect capacity and learning. Then you restore ownership with coaching and changed systems so the team can handle it next time. Leaders should leave a trace, a clear plan, a single improvement to implement, and the expectation that the team will absorb the learning. Principles don't expire. Practices do.
Leadership tension moment. When do you override? My stance, override when the risk to the organization is existential, or when the team is out of time to learn before the next event. But override must be narrow and time-boxed. I worry when override becomes a shortcut for uncomfortable coaching conversations. James, you often caution against too much leader presence. Where do you draw the line?
I'll push back. Override is sometimes necessary, but leaders must ask three questions before stepping in. 1. Will my involvement protect capacity or teach dependency? 2. Can I create a temporary shield while restoring ownership in 24 to 72 hours? 3. Am I explicit about why I'm intervening and how ownership will return? If you can't answer all three, you should probably coach instead of command. The risk is that your presence becomes the solution people chase instead of better systems.
Fair. I agree with the three questions, but I'd add, have a ready-to-deploy escalation play for common risks. That reduces ad hoc overrides. A play includes the threshold, the first 60 minutes auctions, the communication script, and the learning step for the next 24 hours. Then, leaders are less tempted to stay longer than necessary.
Synthesis and reframe. Distill this into four practices. 1. Define thresholds in plain language. 2. Name the owner at each threshold. 3. Time box leader interventions. 4. Restore learning. Require a short follow-up that puts the improvement into the system. When those four things line up, escalation breeds resilience instead of fear.
Practical reality check. A one-week pilot you can run Monday. Day 1. Pick a single high-impact escalation. Safety, quality, customer outage. Day 2. Define the threshold and owner. Day 3. Write the handoff script and the 60-minute play. Day 4. Run a tabletop with the owner and their leader. Day 5. Agree on the learning step and how you'll measure if the pathway reduced time to resolution or improved owner confidence. Measure two metrics, time to decision and percent of incidents that returned ownership within 72 hours.
Leadership reflection. One question to test this week. What escalation would you stop, start, or codify this week? Pick one, then ask your peer leader to hold you accountable. Say it out loud in your next leadership meeting and capture the owner and the time box. Small moves like that change behavior over time. Excellence is not an outcome. It's a way of leading.
Before we close, two quick cautions. Keep escalation simple, fewer than three tiers for most flows, and don't confuse visibility with ownership. Visibility is for awareness. Ownership is for action. If you can't name the owner, the system will fail. Principles only matter if they change behavior.
If this episode helped you, subscribe to the Excellence Imperative so you don't miss the next conversation. Share this with a leader who needs to rethink escalation as stewardship, not punishment. Try the one-week pilot and tell us what changed.
Next episode, we'll examine how leaders' standard work anchors decision rights and reduces the need for escalation. Subscribe and leave a rating if you found value. It helps other leaders find the conversation.
As you reflect on today's conversation, remember, excellence isn't something you announce or roll out. It's something you practice through the choices you make, the behaviors you model, and the systems you allow to operate every day.
If there's one takeaway, it's this. Principles only matter when they change what actually happens in the organization. Look at where decisions get made, where accountability sets, and what leaders consistently reinforce.
You don't need to do everything differently. Just one thing more intentionally.
Because how you lead today determines what your organization becomes tomorrow.
Thanks for joining us for the Excellence Imperative. Excellence is not an outcome, it's a way of leading. Principles don't expire, leadership behaviors do. What endures is what leaders practice consistently.